Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Stu does America.
Welcome to Stu Does America. Dan Andros is here to break down Hamas's connection to the NHL. Makes perfect sense. The new and improved EPA continues to claw back sanity from the Biden administration. We'll give the latest there. But we're going to start by doing Trump's approval ranked. Yes, we have. I was like, how should we do this? I don't have a bunch of things. I got like 50 different policies and concepts that Donald Trump is dealing with. It's a lot to deal with. And we want to go through the approval ratings of them. Like, what do people like and what people don't like? And I was like, can we just grade them? How should we do this? And, you know, my nerdy producer said, what if you do a tier list? I was like, yes, let's do a tier list. Why would I do a tier list? What is a tier list? If you don't know, let's go to Wikipedia. A tier list is a concept originating in video game culture where playable characters or other in-game elements are subjectively ranked by their respective viability as part of a list. Characters listed on higher on a tier of a specific game are considered to be powerful characters compared to lower scoring characters and therefore more likely to be used in high-level competitive settings like tournaments. Tier lists have been used to rank elements from other subjects aside from video games, such as films, sports teams, logos, animals, laptop, tabletop games. Basically, it's an entertaining way to rank things. And instead of giving you like all the, because I could give you obviously just run through a bunch of polling here. But what I want to do is kind of break these into different pieces and talk to you about this. I want you to view this almost like you're a consultant for Donald Trump, right? Like what policy should you be talking about more? What should you emphasize more? What should you maybe emphasize less? And of course, to be clear, you don't make your policy based on polls. That's always a bad idea. Oh, this is popular. Let's do that. No, but some elements of your policy are really popular and that you should bring to the and emphasize more. Others might be less popular. Maybe you think there's a long ramp before people really appreciate them. You might want to emphasize those less publicly, right, for your approval rating. Now, approval rating doesn't make a presidency necessarily. It's just how people feel about you right now. But give you a picture of where Donald Trump is, as is usually the case with presidents. He started off, more popular than unpopular. That line crossed in probably mid-March or so. And right now, Donald Trump is at 44.7% approval rating, and disapproval at 51.2%. This is an average of many, many polls from Nate Silver. Now, look, it's important to know that's actually a pretty good number for Donald Trump overall if you compare it to his first term. He was between mid-40s to low-40s most of the time in his first term. Obviously, the numbers that he had at the beginning of this term were much, much higher, but those are really out of the norm for Donald Trump. He has a range that he's been in most of the time he's been president. So think about these things. I will say this is not my ranking. Like, there's a lot of policies that come that are unpopular that I really like. Some policies towards the top that maybe I don't like as much. But the point is to kind of look at this and say, what do the American people overall appreciate most about Donald Trump's policies so far? Which are the most popular? Which are the least popular? So let's go through these. We start with S tier. I don't know why it starts with S tier. It's not like a normal grading scale of A through F like you're a kid. It's S, and then you got A, B, C, D, E, and F tiers. So we start with the S tier. There are four policies in the S tier, his most popular policies to the American people so far, which are crime, border security, national security, and immigration. So you see right off the bat that kind of headline stuff. Border security and immigration obviously working together, very popular for Donald Trump. Crime, he's seen as someone who doesn't like crime, isn't going to tolerate crime. And national security, he's people see him as someone who is patriotic, who cares about national defense, right? Isn't worried about everybody's feelings. He wants to make sure the country is safe. All those things, I think, kind of fall into the same bucket, right? Border security, national security, security from crime. People see Donald Trump as a strong guy who cares about the country, wants to protect its citizens. These are the most popular, the S-tier categories for Donald Trump. By the way, we've got like 50 policies to go through, so I'm going to go as quickly as possible to try to get through all of them. Hopefully, I don't have to skip too many. All right, next is the A-tier. This is the second highest tier for Donald Trump. And here's what we have in that category. Transgender issues. which you'd say, oh, wait a minute, I thought he hated transgender people. Well, people generally like his policies on transgender issues. Democracy, that's a funny one, because I thought he was a January 6th guy. He hated democracy. No, apparently people don't feel that way. Relations with Israel. I thought the Hamas protesters had the right vibe on that. Apparently not. Government spending. This is a fascinating one we'll get back to a little bit later. Deportation. Again, that's tied to his S-tier categories of immigration and border security. Guns. Again, I thought this guy, wait a minute, guns? I thought he was all for mass shootings. Apparently, people don't see it that way. Refugees, again, tied to the border. Cybersecurity, again, tied to security generally. Free speech, a really interesting one. I mean, I think people really do see Trump as a free speech guy and his opposition as people who want to shut down speech. Education, that's a fascinating one too. I think tied very closely to school choice and the positions he's been taking there. And the death penalty, again, I think tied to the S tier category of crime. A lot in that A tier. He's got a lot of categories that generally people like. They're right around, and they're above where his normal approval rating is. He's more popular in those categories than his normal approval rating. They're split issues generally when you look at the numbers overall. But you get a real sense here, right? It's security. It's the border. It's free speech. And that, I think, ties into the transgender issue as well. People want to be able to say what they want to say about a controversial issue like that, and it shouldn't be shot down. We're in that same category. You see where Donald Trump's strengths are to the American people generally, not just the base, not just what his opponents hate. What do people come across those lines for? All right, next tier is the B tier, and we have DEI. Again, the DEI stuff, I think, has been generally popular. You saw a little bit of that in the higher tiers as well with transgender issues and free speech. Well, foreign aid is in this category. AI, which is an interesting one. He's been pretty, I think, aggressive in adopting AI, trying to get America on the right side of that and kind of the owner of the AI, the leaders of AI. Cryptocurrencies. This is one the left really likes to hit him on. He's seen pretty popularly a B-tier issue for him. Healthcare costs, national debt. Now, national debt's an interesting one. Again, I'd be more critical than him on national debt. He does address those things in the Doge type of way a little bit. You know, generally, we're going to have a probably higher deficit, I think, this year than maybe any other year in our history, potential exception of the COVID year. It's going up. I don't think it's going to be even going down from the Biden administration. So I would want more work on that particular topic. Social Security. Again, he's a big defender of Social Security. Not my favorite policy, but he's a big defender of it. Climate, a B-tier issue. Again, I think this is one the media would say he's terrible on. The American people see him as like, hey, he's doing an all right job on that. Childcare, corruption, and taxes. Corruption's an interesting one in that the left hits him on this all the time, right? Tied to his cryptocurrency, his government business dealings, the Qatar jet. He's in Saudi Arabia announcing these big deals while Jared Kushner does business with Saudi Arabia. There are a lot of accusations with Donald Trump and corruption. They try to hit him on that all the time. Doesn't seem like it's landing with anyone outside of the left-wing base. This is a B-tier issue for him. And taxes, which I would hope would be better, right? Like, conservatives are supposed to be the tax cutters. Hopefully his big, beautiful bill, if that goes through, addresses some of those concerns and maybe moves that one up a tier or two. Now we're getting into stuff that's less popular with people generally. And as I mentioned, like, these are not necessarily my policies that are less popular, but they are with the American people. Abortion is in this particular grouping. Abortion's an interesting one in that normally this has been framed from the left's perspective, as it always is, right? He doesn't do enough to give abortion rights. I would also be a bit critical with initial stances of Trump when it comes to, like, the DOJ dropping the mifepristone lawsuit. They're not going to be pursuing that anymore. Again, Trump kind of gets a pass from me when it comes to abortion, largely because of what he did with the Supreme Court, which led to the overturning of Roe versus Wade, an outcome I never thought I would see in my lifetime. So I have a tough time being really angry about anything Donald Trump does. Though I will say, you know, first term Donald Trump on this issue is so far superior to second term from my perspective. That doesn't mean approval perspective, where this is a C issue for Donald Trump. Civil rights, you can tie that to obviously People, I think, see that term as a step in for racial issues. Environmental regulations. Again, I think he's doing a very good job on environmental regulations. The latest example we'll get into a little bit later with the EPA and Lee Zeldin, which is very, very positive. Not necessarily the way everybody sees it, I suppose. Cabinet appointments and just kind of in the middle, and women's rights in the middle. He's not seen as like horrible for women's rights, but it's not his best issue. Of course, that's also closely tied to his abortion position. All right, now we're down to the C issue. And we've come, I don't know, probably at least half the policies so far. We do have more, though. In the D tier, we have health care, which is a little bit different than the last one, I guess. The last one was health care costs. So from a cost perspective, they're saying, okay, a little bit better there, where he's maybe keeping costs down because he embraces market mechanisms. Health care generally, he's not covering everyone. He's not doing universal health care like the media ones. So this is a D category for him, a little bit below average. Consumer protection is there. International alliances. Again, I would put this one higher. I think there's problems I have with some of the stuff that he's doing in the Middle East when it comes to aligning ourselves closely with a place like Saudi Arabia. However, I'm of the opinion that the alternative is worse. And so I don't think has a problem there. I'm as a big fan of what he's done, generally speaking, with Israel. I think he's moved the Ukraine-Russia situation the right direction, even though it's not necessarily the best outcome for, I'm sure, the citizens of Ukraine. I do think it's probably the reality of where we are at this point. So international alliances, I would have him higher, but they have him in a D tier. Housing is another. Elon slash Doge is there. And jobs slash economy is the last one. Now, that's a real problem. Like, Elon Musk, Doge, I like that approach. I want the cost cutting. I want the government jobs to be shed. Of course, I'm going to think as a higher tier. But I can understand why the American people don't necessarily see it that way, because they're not necessarily as ideological as maybe I am or you are when it comes to government spending. When it comes to the jobs and the economy, it's the reason he's president of the United States centrally. The border and jobs slash the economy are the main reasons he's president of the United States here. The fact that this is this low down not only is a problem that he needs to turn around, but also a preview of what's coming up here in these bottom tiers. All right, E tier. This is the second to lowest tier. The policies that the American people see as the least productive, the least that they appreciate the least from Donald Trump. Labor unions. Again, I like Donald Trump's stance largely on labor unions, but it's a low tier item overall. Use of executive orders. That one I could say, even as a conservative who likes a lot of those executive orders. Can we pass some laws? Can we go another direction? I mean, I know we're going for one bill here, but there's been a lot, too much in my perspective, done through executive orders so far. Medicare slash Medicaid. Again, I can't stand those policies, but people see him as, I guess, threatening. There is a threatening the spending there. There is an approach by Democrats trying to say the big, beautiful bill, if you will, is going to cut Medicaid. I don't really see that as reality, honestly, from what I've seen and read about this. And honestly, I think these policies should be cut in many ways. However, people don't like that talk. Race relations is a E-tier issue for Donald Trump. Relations with Ukraine is again, I would say, a little bit lower than I would put it. I understand Ukraine is not huge fans of some of our approaches. Obviously, they liked just getting billions and billions of dollars and really having no approach, no compromise potentially in a peace agreement. Trump is trying to push them that direction, so people don't like that. But relations with Russia is also in this area. So for every Democrat that says, oh gosh, he's just favoring Russia, it's not how the American people see that. We also have foreign policy and January 6 offenders. Again, I would say I'd be a little higher on foreign policy for Trump so far than the American people are generally. January 6th offenders, I'm not at all surprised to see down here. Even if you like, I mean, we talked to Steve Baker about a lot of the things going on there. Even if most people haven't, unfortunately, read some of that reporting. And, you know, again, people see January 6th as a negative, as I do as well. It was not a good day in our nation's history. That being said, some of the punishments handed out were ridiculous for what went on there. I'm not surprised to see the American people generally not noticing that nuance, though. So that is an E tier, but not an F tier. Topic. Okay, so there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 F-tier proposals or policies for Donald Trump. So let's go through them. These are the ones that you'd say probably should emphasize the least, right? Should talk about the least if he's worried about his approval rating. It doesn't mean he changes his policies. His policies should be his policies. But these are the ones that are not landing as well with the American people. Number one, you're not going to be surprised to hear tariffs, right? Tariffs and trade. These are not popular proposals. Again, I don't like them for reasons other than their popularity. I don't care if they're popular or not, frankly. I don't care. I mean, you've watched this show enough, you probably know I don't really care about popularity all that much. I will say, generally speaking, nobody agrees with me on half the stuff, and I don't care. But I will say that is one of his least popular proposals. And the more time we spend constantly focusing on them, I think it winds up hurting Donald Trump and again, weakens the presidency overall for some of these other things that you like. Because if your overall approval goes down, those A tier and B tier things that are really helping him might slide down and may be more difficult to accomplish. That's the main concern here when you're looking at these policies, at least as far as the consultant view of them. Next up is presidential pardons. The pardon thing is something that I think is a weird policy for America anyway. It feels very like old school King British era policy to me. People don't like it. People don't like when you pardon people generally. They didn't like it when Biden was doing it with his family. They don't like it when Trump does it. Relations with Canada. Again, that's tied to tariffs and trade, obviously. I think people look at the Canada thing and say it just was unnecessary. Like, I can see us taunting China. I can see us taunting even Mexico to a lesser extent. But, our enemies or adversaries, you see, that sort of relationship, they like that from Trump, I think, at some level. They like kind of when he goes after Iran or says to Hamas, screw you guys, like, you turn our hostages over or you're toast. I think they like that out of Donald Trump. They don't really see it as much in Canada. Canada does have big problems and has alignments politically that we don't like. But the American people just didn't relate to that. They were probably fine with a bit of the taunting, but it turned into wind up giving them a liberal president or prime minister. So they don't see it necessarily positively. Federal workforce reductions are interesting because it combines sort of DOGE with an economy job critique that is going on right now with Donald Trump. So while I love reducing the federal workforce, not necessarily something he should be making speeches about every day if you're looking as a consultant to do. This one I found fascinating. This is his second least popular policy, which is changes to geographic names. Now, that is one that has been kind of widely embraced on the right? Like, they like the Gulf of America thing. It's never been one that I've loved, to be honest with you. To me, it's just been Gulf of Mexico. I don't think it's necessarily a compliment of Mexico. It's just, I don't know, the name I grew up with. I don't want to learn new names. Maybe I'm old school that way. But like, that's not been received particularly well by the American people outside of the base. Now, sometimes you can just do stuff for the base, and if you let it go, it's over, right? When it comes down to something you're focusing on, or if you're planning into doing many more of those, might be something to stay away from. And bottom is inflation / prices. This is obviously tied very closely because we have not seen all that much inflation yet. We have not seen all that much price increase yet. But this is, again, one of the reasons he was elected and now is the least popular policy. And to kind of give you the range of that, that's obviously tied to tariffs mostly. Okay, that's mostly going to be that way, built in with just other prices rising. The fact that they rose a lot before he got into office is part of that probably at some level. But to give you kind of a sense, I think crime, let me go back to the beginning of this, going back to the S tier, I can show the whole if you want. The crime area, everything in the S tier are positive policies for Trump. He's plus. Like crime, for example, he's a +9 policy for Donald Trump. Inflation / prices right now is -26. Tariffs are -15. Changes to geographical names, -21. But inflation / prices, a -26 policy. These are things he's going to have to fix, right? And obviously, he took a big step in that direction by lowering all the tariffs with China just the other day. He also did some agreements where he didn't really lower tariffs with the UK, but at least is showing some economic arrangements. So that's where we are. Those are your S through F tier list categories for Donald Trump's policies. Take with that what you will. You can support the policies or not. But it is kind of an interesting consultant view of how Trump, at least his aides, are looking at this. We're going to talk with Dan Andros here, coming up on a bunch of stuff, including a Hamas development. That's next. That was was a lot to get to in 18 minutes. So I hope you appreciated that. I will say I'm a little stressed now. I mean, of course, America's stressed generally between work and pressures and the constant stream of all the headlines going on. Americans are probably more wired than they've ever been. And, you know, you can deal with that with, you can always throw back a couple of glasses of Jack Daniels, probably not the best solution. You can go through a prescription. You might have some side effects that go along with that. You could also try CBD from CB Distillery. They've been the go-to solution for millions. Results speak for themselves. Over 90% of customers report better sleep with their CBD products. Unlike competitors, CB Distillery creates targeted formulations for specific needs. We're talking about sleep and stress and mood and focus, pain after exercise. All products contain only the highest quality, clean ingredients, no fillers or questionable additives whatsoever. Over 2 million satisfied customers, can't be wrong. Plus, everything comes with 100% money-back guarantee. So even if you don't like it, you got that going on for you, which is nice. Confidence in their products it really can't be surpassed. So get ready for better sleep and less stress. Try cbdistillery.com. Use the promo code STU. Save 25% off your entire purchase right now. Specific product availability, of course, depends on individual state regulations. But check it out, cbdistillery.com, promo code STU. cbdistillery.com, code is STU.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
I want to bring in Dan Andros. He's managing editor at CBN News, host of CBN's Quick Start podcast, which you can subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. Dan, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Stu.
Appreciate it. Some controversy in the NHL, the Florida Panthers. You and I are huge hockey fans, I know. But
oh, yeah.
This story did interest me quite a bit because I'm fascinated at what becomes a problem for public figures when they say things on social media. Like, I'm kind of the opinion you should never get fired over a tweet, but this is the development here with the Florida Panthers. Florida Panthers minority owner suspended indefinitely over social media posts. All right, like, it's gotta be pretty bad, you'd think. I go down and I read his answer. He says, 2 days ago, I posted regrettable and inflammatory comments on social media. My behavior does not reflect the standards of the Florida Panthers organization and the Viola family, which are the other owners. I sincerely apologize to all those affected by my comments. I'm committed to working with the NHL to amend my actions. Like, what the hell did this
bad.
Guy do? Right.
I know.
What the hell did this guy do? Okay.
Post some swastikas or something?
That's kind of what I would think. Like, maybe he, you know, posted swastikas, posted racial slurs, like it's something really serious. Okay. We have the exchange that caused this problem. I want to give it to you now. This is the first tweet here is from some person trying to taunt this guy, just some social media guy. He says, hey, what's worse, using headshots to win a series or using starvation as a weapon to win a war? This minority owner responds, actually, being a whiny, dope anti-Semite is clearly worse. Loser. He did go on to say one more that we have, which is, he said, eat crap,
right.
51st state anti-Semite loser. Israel now and forever until every last Hamas rat is eliminated. So that is seemingly, if I got this story right, Dan, the entirety of his comments, he basically got pissed at someone who was taking like the Israelis are genocidal maniacs side of the debate. And he responded calling him an anti-Semite and I guess mentioned the 51st state joke. And now he's suspended indefinitely. Why?
This is a really good question. It almost seems to kind of inadvertently almost prove his point, like that there's a lot of anti-Semites out there. Like you can't defend Israel without losing your job on the tweet. There's a couple things here. All right. First of all, someone at the NHL, can you please grow a spine? I know, Stu, that we used to do on the show with Glenn Drives for Spines, right? Like, I think maybe we need to do a fundraiser to find some spines out there. There has to be a human in the NHL who's like, come on. He's telling you to eliminate terrorists. Where's the fire here? Why bother? So that's one side of the coin here. The other side of the coin, this is a longstanding stew rule, which I think is a great philosophy, which is don't do it. Just don't do it on Twitter. Like there's no up. What is the upside? What is the upside to responding to Dr. Grizzo on Twitter?
There's like, zero upside.
If this guy ends up losing his job, right, he's out indefinitely. If he ends up losing his job and someone asks him what happens, well, I responded to Dr. Grizzo because he made this point that was really dumb and I had to respond. It's Dr. Grizzo. What are you doing? There's a phenomenon. I'll let you respond. Sorry, I'm filibustering here, Stu.
No, go ahead.
But there's a phenomenon that I'm slowly realizing that happens on social media, particularly on Twitter, on X. You automatically, when you see a comment, at least me, I assume this person is kind of putting the same level of thought process in. It's like a subconscious sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like I assume they've thought out and made like a well-rationed point here, even if I disagree with it. I forget that this is probably just that like meme of the, you know, the fat guy with his stomach hanging over the keyboard and slop everywhere and you know, like just tweeting stuff from his mom's basement. Like you just assume that this is like some academic person going, well, actually, and it's like, no, it's Dr. Grizzo. It's probably a 12-year-old just saying stupid things and you're responding to it and threatening your own livelihood over it. It's just, there's no upside. What is the upside?
That is a question I ask myself all the time. It's like, you know, again, I'm doing, you know, what am I getting out of this, right? Am I getting something like, you know, like, for example, we tweet promotions for today's episode. Hey, Dan Andrews is going to be on with us today. There's a reason to do that, to let people know, hey, the show is there. And the goal being to get more people to listen or know what's coming up and to view the show or listen to the show. Like, okay, that's the upside of that tweet. What's the upside of me going back to Dr. Grizzo and calling him an anti-Semite? Even if he is an anti-Semite, what good does that do? And the answer, I mean, all the time is nothing. Right. Like never like, gosh, I won Dr. Grizzo off to his over to Israel's side of the argument. And that never occurs.
No, never occurs. And you think about it, too, particularly from any company that works for that is very sensitive on social media stuff. Like obviously at the Blaze, like they have spines at the Blaze. Right. They're not going to just fold like a cheap suit for a controversial take. That's what you guys do, right? Like you put controversial things out there. But if you're like a school teacher or something, and we see this all the time, these radical leftist idiot school teachers are like, yeah, so what if I'm for, you know, I'm a MAP, I'm a minor attract person, big deal. We need rights for them too. You're like, wait a minute, that's not going to fly. And then you get fired. And in that case, I'm glad if there's a MAP out there that's a teacher with kids, I'm happy that they did do it and got fired. But the logic being like, what, you don't need to put your most controversial thing out there, you know, if you got a regular job.
And we talked about this so many times, Dan, but it's just like, I really do feel like it's like a way for people to feel alive. You know, it's like they just feel dead inside. There's no foundations. They've got nothing they're like living for. It's all just like, well, dopamine hit after dopamine hit. And It's just pathetic.
The drug.
It is. It really is. And very bad. Let me move on to another topic that is, I mean, I guess it's controversial on the internet as well. Pete Rose, of course, all-time leading hit, you know, hit maker in the NFL, or MLB, all-time hits leader. Sorry, I have got music on my mind here for another story. he's all-time hits leader in Major League Baseball history, not in the Hall of Fame, famously because, of course, he gambled and bet on baseball, lied about it for a long time, was banned from baseball, and also kept out of the Hall of Fame. Decision comes down yesterday from the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Says, look, when these punishments die with the person, right? Like when Pete Rose dies, he's now eligible to be in the Hall of Fame. Doesn't necessarily guarantee he will be in there. Shoeless Joe Jackson is another one that could be in there. This has been kind of a controversy in sports our entire lives, right? The steroid era, Pete Rose, you know, going all the way back, obviously, to Shoeless Joe Jackson. How do you feel about it? It seems to me, I think, on its surface to be a sensible way of handling it, because obviously the guy who's led the league in hits should be in the Hall of Fame if you go on merit.
Yeah, especially now with because his from my understanding of the Rose gambling was that he never like threw a game.
Right.
Right. So it's still obviously not good to be gambling on your own games, but he wasn't throwing a game. So to me, it doesn't change like it's not good and he shouldn't have done it. I'm not condoning it. I'm just like looking at it compared to Shoeless Joe Jackson. I think those guys like threw the World Series. That's way more egregious in my opinion than what Pete Rose did. If you're just thinking like, yeah, we're good, we're going to win. And then you bet on it. Bad. Why bother doing it? At least it doesn't change the outcome of the game in any way, right? Like you're not purposely throwing the game, which I think is kind of the main problem with the whole gambling thing, right? Like we saw that in the NBA Porter, who was getting injured on purpose to get the under on some random prop bet. You know, it's like, that's the kind of thing that you don't, it does feel a little hypocritical now that the sports have all completely embraced sports wagering.
Yeah.
That they're just like to keep a guy out. Now, again, it's different to be the player betting on the game than outside spectator. I get all that, but it's like, don't act like gambling is some, you know, horrific crime when you guys are willingly accepting hundreds of millions of dollars from these gambling companies. And so you're clearly not that worried about it. I actually kind of thought a long time ago that Pete Rose, they probably should have said, all right, you did your time. Like, this, you know, put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, more people talk about him now than probably ever would have if they would have just put him in the Hall of Fame. You probably never would have heard about it again. How many other people do you know about in the Hall of Fame right now that are, you know? Right. And by the way, is Barry Bonds going to get in the Hall of Fame? Is he on the indefinite list?
Go ahead.
I mean, yeah, great player, but he injected drugs into his body, allegedly. That helped him get all those records. So do you care about that and all the other players that did it?
I think I'm a yes on all of these guys. Not every single one, but I think I'm a yes on Shoeless Joe Jackson. I mean, again, the team through the World Series, he was great in the World Series, though. There's no real sign did anything.
I forgot all the specifics on that. Yeah.
Pete Rose, all-time hits leader. Yes, I think he's in. To me, I think Barry Bonds is in too. He's still probably the greatest hitter I've ever seen. He's put up, the steroids thing is obviously a problem. There's a lot of guys in that era. We don't know how many got in. I mean, but even like a guy like Sosa, like I just feel like there's a line there. And at some point, I think these guys are on the other side of it. Like, that's at least my opinion. I think I'd put them all in, at least in that high echelon. Like, there's some people that are fringe guys that maybe you keep out because of the steroid thing, but I think I'm in on all of them, in my view. Before I let you go, though, Dan, we're almost out of time. I have to bring up a topic, and I hesitate to bring this up. This is a difficult thing to bring up to you, and I apologize for doing it in advance, but you're here. I feel like we have to talk about your Boston Celtics, now 3-1 in a series, against the New York Knicks. And now Jason Tatum, their best player, one of the best players in the league, blows out his Achilles the other day in a non-contact injury. He's out for this year, probably most of next year as well.
I think all of next year, probably.
Probably.
It's a 12 to 18 month recovery. Kevin Durant took 17 months, so.
This is crushing.
Yeah. It is very crushing, and honestly, it's more crushing than them blowing the first two games against the Knicks for absolutely no reason. They just, I forget what the stats are, but they missed 75 three-pointers. I think 40 of them were wide-open three-pointers, and they just, they lost the games by like 1 point and 3 points. If they would have just made one more of these 40 open three-pointers, they would be up 3-1 still, because the Knicks have played one good game. They played one good game, which was the last game, so... Crushing news on Jason Tatum. The Celtics are probably headed for, a big changes in the offseason, but the series is not over yet, Stu.
Oh, wow. The optimism's still there?
My only qualifier right now is Porzingis has clearly not been, he's dealing with some weird virus. So like that's been sticking around and sapping him of all of his energy. He's clearly not himself,
I know he has a condo in Wuhan he spent some time in. I'm not exactly sure what's going on with him, but something strange.
It's long COVID. Yeah. It's something weird. If he can somehow get his energy back and be good, I don't see why the Celtics can't win, at least extend this series and make it interesting. You have Jaylen Brown. You have Derek White. You have Drew Holiday. You have Kristaps Porzingis. Those are four very good players. And remember, Jason Tatum, everyone, all the haters that for whatever reason hate this guy. He's like the nicest guy in the world. Never has any controversies. Great player, and everyone just hates on him all the time and saying he's getting carried. Well, if he's getting carried all the time, well, who's carrying him? All the guys that are left on the court. You know, Jaylen Brown leading the charge. If they play well, the Knicks have not impressed me. Jalen Brunson's a great player. The rest of the Knicks are okay. I mean, Josh Hart. I mean, are we really good? That's great that OG Anunoby hit a couple 3-pointers in two of the games. Like, good for him. But I could easily see him going 0-of-8 from three from the next game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Josh Hart could go 0-of-9 from three. Mikal Bridges has never made more shots in one game in his life than he did in game four. So if they shoot well, yes, they're going to win the game. But if they go back to the 1-2-3 game Knicks, yeah, the Celtics could do it, and they could take this thing to 7, and we'll see what happens.
Wow, interesting. I kind of thought there'd be a little more pessimism there. I like the optimism from Dan Andros. I will also say, just to go through these series real quick, and we'll take a break. But like, yeah.
Cavs choked.
The Cavs lose. They win 64 games and lose in five. I mean, they had some injuries.
The Pacers are better than last year, Stu. Mm-hmm. Everyone dogged the Celtics. Oh, yeah, I only had to play the Pacers. And the Celtics were telling everybody, no, they were actually really good. Like, they led the league in offense last year. Yeah. Their defense wasn't great. But so if they play any defense, they can score. They can score with anybody.
They're
better than people think.
That one's already over, though, right? The Cavs, 64 wins are out. You have the Knicks, Celtics. Celtics, you know, one of the best teams in the league, defending champions. They're down 3-1 with now a massive injury. You've got the Warriors and Timberwolves. Steph Curry out. Which is like a bizarre series. And then you have Nuggets Thunder, which has been an incredible series. But like, it's bizarre to see because they literally fired their coach and their GM, Denver, a week before the playoffs started. And now they look really good. They're down 3-2. But it's been a very weird playoffs, Dan. Give me 30 seconds on the rest of it if you can.
Well, my I'll just leave you with one thought, Stu, this is probably my favorite thought. Yes, devastating for the Celtics. I'm devastated for the next year and everything else. But the Cavs, who have a very annoying fan base, they lost former LeBron team. And the Lakers lost.
Oh, that was good.
And then the Mavericks get the number one pick. They conveniently win the number one pick. I mean, how does that happen, Stu? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's rigged, but LeBron's out. I don't really hate any of the teams left, so it's not as painful as it could be for this Celtics fan, but if like the Lakers would have gone on a run. But I'm very glad to see the Lakers lose. I hope Luka has a mediocre career there the rest of his life, and I hope the Mavericks somehow rise again and Adam Silver can win best Oscar for fake league. I don't know.
The Mavs thing, them winning is absolutely unbelievable.
Adam Silver, if they actually didn't orchestrate this, Adam Silver's got to be like,
absolutely incredible. All right, I got to take a break. Dan Andros, managing editor of CBN News. Be sure to check him out on CBN's Quick Start podcast. Feel for him if the Celtics lose. Feel his pain. Subscribe today over at his podcast. Dan, thanks so much for coming on.
All right, Hospital Celtics in 7, baby.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
I want you to kind of play media member here for a second. You make the call. Remember that? You make the headline. Okay. You make the headline. I want you to think about how you would write this headline. I'll give you the story. Donald Trump complains during the campaign about how high egg prices are. He becomes president of the United States. You know, certainly inflation a big part of that. And eggs kind of the highlight issue, right? He says when he gets in office, he's going to lower egg prices. Starts talking about how egg prices are coming down. And then the egg prices come down. How would you write that headline? I mean, you might say Donald Trump promise kept. You might say just cover it without Trump, right? And this is shocking to most people, even though I did a big Trump monologue today. But it's like Donald Trump doesn't have to be the focus of every story. Just be about eggs. How did CNN write the story? Quote, Trump's egg price fiction has suddenly become reality. So I guess their case here is, for months, President Trump has falsely claimed that egg prices are tumbling. It wasn't true then, but it is now. Now, 4 months is doing a lot of work in that particular paragraph, because he's only been president for a couple months. They came down in April. April was his third full month in office. I mean, I don't know how fast he was supposed to do it. I know he says on day one quite a bit, and I don't know that people actually take that seriously. He also didn't end the Ukraine war on day one, though we've made some progress in that direction. They are down now 49% more last month than they did a year earlier. So they're not down to where they were previously, but they're just coming down from the peaks of the end of the Biden administration and the first month or so of the Trump administration. Again, the president's control on egg prices isn't exactly direct. We've, of course, talked about that. Even when Biden was president, we talked about that. There are other factors in office. Of course, when you have a high inflation problem and then you have a headline issue like eggs, it tends to make it worse for you politically. But that's kind of a separate issue. Lee Zeldin, I mentioned this earlier, Lee Zeldin of the EPA, he's going to kill a car feature that everyone hates. And I am one of those people that hates it, despises it, can't possibly wait for it to go away faster. It is the start-stop technology. This is kind of from the Obama era. And basically they said, we got to lower emissions. What we want to do is when you pull up to a stoplight, and you put your foot on the brake, the car will just turn off. And then when you start going again, it'll start back up and you'll go forward. I hate this. And this is partially because I grew up as a guy, especially in my younger years, who had a lot of cars that would stall. In fact, I still own one car that would, my MG absolutely does this every single time I go to a stop sign. It just stops and then it doesn't turn back on. So it terrifies you. When you're in a car, you're renting a car, because I don't own a car that has start stop, thankfully. You go to a stoplight, you press brake and it feels like it stalls. And you're like, oh no, you start panicking. And then you remember the stupid thing. Then you press the gas and it doesn't actually go right away. It has to start the car and then go. I hate it. It was basically a tax incentive for these companies to do it. 65% of cars being made now have this technology in them. That will probably stop because car companies won't be incentivized. By the way, just to give you the basic truth of the matter, this has shown no improvement in emissions when it comes to emissions tests. There's a slight fuel economy savings, theoretically, but no savings whatsoever in emissions. So it didn't work. It was annoying. Hopefully now it is going away forever. Finally, let me give you this. Biden aide is hitting back at the book alleging the cover-up of his deterioration. This is that Jake Tapper, Alex Thompson book. A spokesperson for Biden said, evidence of aging is not evidence of mental incapacity, which I will say is true. It is not evidence of mental incapacity. One thing that is, however, evidence of mental incapacity is mental incapacity. And that is what we saw from Joe Biden. The 2025 housing market is more complex than ever. What works in one city fails miserably in another. Interest rates, you get inventory, local regulations, they all kind of create a unique situation that requires specific expertise. Most buyers and sellers don't realize that they're making decisions based on outdated or generalized information. You know, the media talks about this stuff all the time, and they love these sort of broad trends. But your neighborhood operates by its own rules. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com connects you with professionals who actually understand your local market, not just someone with a license, but someone who actually consistently outperforms their competition where you live. This is a nationwide network, but it's built up by a nationwide network of individual people who kind of provide the expertise needed to know exactly what's happening, everything from your street or your school district or your specific price range. Their selection process is rigorous, and it is, you know, something that Glenn developed over a long period of time, because he was thinking, like, you know, what matters here is the details. The little things matter, and that's what happens with RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com, it's a free service to you. When you're buying or selling a home, check it out now, RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. The media landscape has become an echo chamber where challenging the narrative gets you labeled as problematic. Most networks are now kind of just cheerleaders for whatever talking points come down from on high. At Blaze TV, we take a different approach. We've built a home for voices who aren't afraid to question the consensus and dig into stories that others won't touch. Our hosts deliver unfiltered commentary on the issues that matter without worrying about offending the algorithm overlords. Every subscription supports truly independent media at a time where, let's be honest about it, it's never been more necessary. And that is incredibly true. For just $8 a month with promo code STU, you get our complete lineup and you get the shows, you get the documentaries, you get everything. Go to StuDoesAmerica.com today. Get $20 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV with the promo code STU. It is StuDoesAmerica.com. The code is STU. It's a great community. I wish you'd join us. We have a great time over here. Come join the party. StuDoesAmerica.com. The code is STU.